This is an In the Net 2010 MLS Super Draft Preview. Now, here's Brad Feldman.
All right, we are on the air for 2010. Hard to believe it's here already. We're gearing up for the upcoming season. And the first round of big events are the Super Draft and the Combine down in the Fort Lauderdale area that's going on right now. The draft on Thursday down in Philadelphia, and we are going to give you a full round of preview material here on RevolutionSoccer.net and Revolution Radio. Brad Feldman with you, and very pleased to be joined now live from the Combine by Revolution Vice President of Player Personnel and former club captain, Michael Burns. Mike, Happy New Year. How are you?
Same to you, Brad. Nice to be back on the show, and as you just said, I can't believe we're in 2010 that normally, I'd like to say I'm in sunny Florida, but it's not so sunny this year.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Cold snap followed by rain. How much did that wreak havoc? I know you're on a new field complex down there, not at at the stadium where it's been for the last few years. Has that affected play?
I don't think so. I think, if anything, it may have actually helped the boys because, you know, sometimes it can be so hot down here, and these guys have had a lot of time off from their college season to now, and we obviously understand that their fitness level, they're not game fit. So at the same time, for a little cold front to come through here, I think probably helped the players a little bit in that regard. So the first day was cold, was rainy, and then they switched it around. They gave the boys played on Saturday. They took Sunday off instead of Monday and then played yesterday and today. And today was quite windy, but it kind of went true to form, I think. I mean, the first day, usually the guys are, you know, they're pretty – they're pretty gung-ho, if you will. Then the second day, they seem to settle down a little bit. And then today, to be honest, there's a little bit of fatigue that sets in, and we kind of have to take that all into consideration. But overall, I think it was a good another good combine. And so we'll see on Thursday how we do. Who's still available at 9?
Yeah, and what is the truism as far as that goes? Can guys hurt themselves more than they help themselves? Or if you're from a smaller school, do you think those are the guys? Obviously, a guy from the ACC who's already on everybody's, you know, top 16 draft board is less likely to make or break his career. You know, any All-American people is more of a known quantity than some kid coming out of a Division II or a smaller program. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I mean, it's, you know, I've said this in the past, but for us being in the location that we're in, we're able to see more of the kids in the ACC just because, due to the fact that BC is in the ACC and the Virginias and North Carolinas and the Maryland's and Wakes of the world come through Boston every year, and or at least every other, and you know, the Ivy League schools because of Harvard and then BU's opponents. So we get to see some of the kids, but you know, our league's not to the point yet to where we have sophisticated scouting systems like other sports in this country or soccer in other parts of the world. And you know, to be real honest, and I've said this before, I mean, it's very, very difficult for us to see kids at Indiana, UCLA, Oregon State, if you will, to get to see those guys play live, unless they make it to the Final Four or something like that, because our season's going on, and it's hard for Steve and our coaches to get out to see these players. So you do as much homework as you can. You use as many contacts as you have, and everyone's doing the same thing, though, and you just try to get as much information as you can coming into the combine, and then sometimes you know, what you see here will kind of confirm either some beliefs you have, and in some cases it will change.
Well, two guys who are purported to have had a good combine are at schools in areas that you're less likely to see. You hear Kyle Nakazawa's name out of a UCLA, and especially Blair Gavin, the other guy coming out of Akron. Everybody's talking about, of course, Teal Bunbury, Alex Bunbury's son. It's hard to believe that he has a son who's a sophomore in college this year, but he won the Mack Herman Trophy. He's likely to be a top five pick. But you're hearing, I know you can't tip your hand, but is it fair to say that Gavin impressed some people?
Yeah, I think he did well for himself. I would, you know, each year when we do this show, I would love to be able to give some more insight to Revs fans and those that follow the Revs out there. But I hope everyone and I trust everyone understands that we obviously aren't in a position where we can say anything at all, because we don't want to lose any leverage we may have and tip the scales on someone we might like. And so, you know, there's a lot. We have to be real quiet and hush-hush on that. But I guess what I can say is that we're obviously optimistic and hopeful that in some of the guys that we thought had good combines and that we've been monitoring will still be available at 9, and for sure some of the guys that we like will not be available at 9, and that's just the way it goes every year. So you know, we have two picks in the top 25 overall, and we're hopeful that in the first two rounds we're going to get two guys that can come in and contribute.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's been announced officially, but he pulled out of the combine. The one draft pick that appears to be a lock, Danny Mwanga, striker out of Oregon State, big kid with speed, and I think it's pretty safe to say he's a lock for Philadelphia coming in. The way the draft board goes after that is New York, San Jose, Kansas City, then Dallas has two picks in a row, followed by DC United, Columbus, and then the Revolution at nine. And obviously, I can't get you to give any state secrets away, Mike. But how much – everybody who's at that level of pro sports is a bit of a gamesman. And you guys are playing the mental game on the field, and now you're doing it off the field, and a lot of the GMs are guys you played against. Is there a lot of, sort of liar's poker that goes on, or is it at the point where people just know that you're not going to give anything away?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think some people still try. but I think – and you just said it. I mean, there's a lot of guys involved that I played with or against, and I guess not just in this environment, but I and Stevie now have histories with a lot of these guys. So I don't want to say every time when someone's bluffing, but you know these people kind of pretty well. And listen, every year it happens where there's an awful lot of chatter that goes on in terms of people moving up, moving down, and it happens in every sport. It happens here every year. And what I can say to that is you kind of have to play the game because sometimes it does materialize, but 99% of the time it's just talk and it never ends up happening. But listen, either through the draft or through trades, we're approaching this like we do every year, and that is to make our team better. And if that happens either via trade or who we're able to get in the draft, then that's what we're trying to do. So conversations are continually ongoing with virtually every team here, and as most of our fans know, that most of the time that doesn't materialize to anything, but you kind of have to do it, and it's part and parcel for the combine and the draft, and this time of the year a lot of rumors start flying because there's very few opportunities where all the MLS teams are in one central location. So every night after the games, you're in the hotel lobby, you bump into someone from Seattle or L.A. or Toronto, and conversations just start. So,
well, do signatures on cocktail napkins count as deals? Like, I guess that's my question is, how much of the horse trading and sort of suggested deals that get done, sort of offline in those situations actually come to fruition two or three days later when you get to the draft location?
Yeah, it's a good point, Brad, and like I said, I'd probably say 99% of them don't happen.
Okay, well, fair dues. All right, well, Mike, thanks for checking in. I know you're busy, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Philadelphia.
No problem, Brad, and take care. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Michael Burns, Revolution Vice President of Player Personnel, and he is really, he's the goods, you got to give Mike credit. He pounded the pavement doing, wearing a lot of different hats his first year or two as the director of soccer, and has at a very young age grown into one of the most respected executives in the league. And the Reds were, not just because he's a homegrown guy who's the club captain, good to have a guy with his level of competence and respect around the league in the position he's in. All right, well, thanks to Michael Burns. And keep an eye on RevolutionSoccer.net. Lots more MLS Superdraft content coming up.